and good Friday morning, folks. It's Friday, November the 2nd, 2018. You're tuned into Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Pastor, how are you? Friday has come.
Friday has come, and the rain may be moving out. Boy, maybe. Did we get a drenching, didn't we?
Oh, man. 24 hours of just a downpour.
I don't know about you, but that just makes me feel cruddy. You know what I mean? If it was really hot, it would be one thing. But when it's cold, too, it just goes right through you.
Oh, it does. And yesterday, everybody I encountered, no matter where I was, they were wet. Their shoes were wet. Their socks were wet. It just makes you uncomfortable.
It does. And, you know, we had beggars night the other night on the 31st at the church, and I know most other places did too. But, you know, even with all that rain, it kind of held off a little bit during that time. It wasn't just a total downpour. And we still went through about 200 hot dogs given to kids and families and candy. And so that was nice to be able to do that.
I found in my neighborhood, I had bought some candy, and I thought it would last the entire 2 hours, and I only made it through about an hour. So there were a lot of people out. That was nice to see. It wasn't raining at that time when they were out, which was good. And it was a good Halloween. I didn't hear any bad stories out of
them. You know, I didn't either. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's great. Maybe things are getting better out there, huh?
Maybe. And now we fall back on Sunday.
Yes, we do.
I know a lot of people who do work Sundays who show up to work. Well, they'll show up early during this time change, because it slips people's mind.
Hey, this might be the one time of year they show up early to church.
It could be.
It could be, huh?
It could be.
It's great to be here this morning with Scott. Again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And it's great to be here every week. It's a good time to get together, and we kind of discuss things going on over the fence, as it is.
Well, and there are a couple of things I wanted to mention, because one of the things we like to do on this show is alert people of events coming up. And there's a great event coming up this weekend. It's called Dinner with the Presidents, and it's been a big thing here in Marion for a while. The Historical Society puts it on. It's November the 3rd, 5:30 p.m. They hold it at the Dayspring Wesleyan Church, 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road. You have dinner with presidential reenactors. And it's an interesting time. And the food that night is food cooked, our favorite dishes of the presidents from their cookbooks. General seating for that event is $26. Children 5 to 12 is $20. Now, you do have to get your tickets today, because you do have to get them before the event. You can't get them at the door. So call 740-387-4255 or go online, marionhistory.com.
All right.
So there's that.
And speaking of food, this Sunday is our church's free meal. It's our turn to do it this month. Churches in Prospect do a different night every week, or every month. And it's our turn to do it Sunday night. It'll begin at around 5 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, we will be having a good meal. Ah, I know what it is. It took me a minute to remember. I know there will be chicken and a side dish. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure it'll be enjoyable. So come to 209 East Water Street in Prospect at 5 o'clock and have a free meal.
Absolutely. And I do want to remind people, and I think this is an interesting conversation to have this week. It's kind of where we left last week, but this will send us into it. That on Tuesday night, we will be doing election coverage here. We will start at 7:10, cover all the local races, and we will go until we have the votes counted and until the governor is chosen that night. So we will do all local elections, the governor, and issue one. We will go on the air at 7:10 p.m., and we will stay on until we have the winners in all those races. It'll be Charlie Evers, Sean Kraft, and myself in the studio. Terry Tackett will be going back and forth between Republican and Democratic headquarters, and Linda Sims will be down at the Board of Elections. So not only will you get to hear the results, you'll hear what's going on at these places around town as it happens in real time. And I believe we're the only station doing that night. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so please, out there, if you want to keep up on the election results, tune in and stay right on top of it.
And it leads us to the conversation we were having last week, and what a better Friday to have this conversation than a few days before an election, which apparently is going to have a lot of people turning out. The statistic I saw was already more than 1,000 people have turned out for this election, early voting, than did in 2016, a presidential year, which is kind of unbelievable to believe that that has happened. But if you didn't hear last week, it was an interesting conversation that started late in the program. It was tipped off by a program you had done on your other show, The Pastor's Spot, on Tuesday afternoon, in regard to the media and what their function is. And that's kind of where we left off last week. And media plays a big part in elections.
Oh, they truly do. And I'm not sure how much they should play a big part in elections if they're reporting the news. I think what people have to understand, and we talked about this a little bit last week, is the difference between reporting news and giving opinion. And there's opinion shows. We know a lot of those. I mean, Bill Maher is an opinion. Sean Hannity would be an opinion show. There's two, one on the left, one on the right. And I think that we have to understand as we listen to those shows that their opinion is thoroughly mixed through everything they're reporting. Now, what is difficult for some people to realize or understand up front is that it shouldn't happen on our morning news broadcasts unless there's an opinion segment. And then I would hope that in an opinion segment, they would have both sides of a story. But the problem is, I think today with a lot of our reporters, is they have an opinion and they're mixing it with the news.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in politics, there used to be a rule. It was a federal rule under the FCC, and it was called the Fairness Doctrine. And it was there really, I know it was there in the early days of radio and certainly all of television, that if you had somebody on giving a Republican point of view or a Democratic point of view, you had to give equal time to the other side. Now, what happened was in the 80s, that was done away with. Now, for whatever reason it was done away with, it was done away with.
You know, I really don't think it should have. Yeah. I think it would have put a lot of equality to what we're hearing. And the hard part is that it's just like all of you out there, I know you've had your television on and you've seen the campaign ads. And I sit and watch them and it's tit for tat. I mean, you see one ad that claims something and the other ads claim the same thing against the other person. And a lot of times, there's just a snippet of truth in there that they can write on to keep from being reported to the Board of Elections for what they said. And that's understandable in a campaign time. You know, people get tired of campaign ads. They can't wait till they're over with. But what's difficult is when our media becomes campaign ads. I'll give you a good example. I used to love late night. Used to love late night shows. I was an old Johnny Carson fan, and he was great, wasn't he?
He was a great guy.
And I used to love Jay Leno and listen to Jay Leno. But since that time, for instance, like when I listened to Jimmy Kimmel, he is 100% partisan and totally constantly attacks one side against the other. I mean, excuse me, he's always totally partisan, and he always attacks the same side. And it goes beyond, I mean, all of those politicians made little jokes and stuff about maybe appearance or behavior or something they said. That's just part of comedy. But when you deliberately, constantly attack one side over and over and over and over, you know, Jimmy Kimmel has lost probably a whole segment of his audience that just can't stomach it. Me being one of them. And even that is entertainment. But even, you know, entertainment used to kind of have kind of this an unspoken fairness doctrine where even they were somewhat fair. And, you know, I used to remember watching, because I've always been politically minded, I can remember as a young person watching Johnny Carson wondering what side he's on. or even Leno. I wonder what side he's on. Well, I'll tell you what, today with some of these guys, there's no question.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It goes back to the two initial points here, and I want to come to late night because I think you have seen that evolve, and I've seen that evolve since Johnny Carson. But the fairness doctrine, I don't know if it was the reason it went out, but I think, honestly, it had more to do with radio than television. Because television is, in the 80s, certainly, and this is the Johnny Carson era, was not hugely political. 60 Minutes was on, 2020 was on. I don't even think NBC had a news magazine then. There were no cable channels when that was going on. So I don't think the fairness doctrine was done away with because of television. I think what happened was radio, we saw the proliferation of people, and they've been successful as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. Well, how does a radio station give the other side 3 hours a day, 5 days a week
Can't
to present the other side?
Can't do
and
it.
I think that's where it went. So
people would just have to decide which radio station they watch.
Right.
As they have. I'm not saying that NBC or any of these other stations don't have a right to put on the people they want and shows that they want. They certainly have that right. I'm just saying that I lost my late night TV.
Well, the late night.
And I wish that I, you know, could still watch that because it was so much fun. And you notice that even the guests that come on some of these shows, it goes right to politics immediately. And it used to be, you know, I remember I used to like to watch Jack Hanna and Suzanne Plachette and all those people that came on that just talked about their lives and what they do, and it was funny and great and entertaining and interesting. And wow, we are in such a politically hot society today. And unfortunately, what do you think about this, Scott? I think that a lot of it is uninformed anger.
Well, I think the comedy shows, particularly the late night shows, because I was a fan of Johnny Carson. I was a fan of David Letterman when he followed Carson. I was a fan of David Letterman until he went off the air. And I think what happened on those shows, the president was always fair game.
Always was.
I mean, go look at Johnny Carson during Watergate.
But only in the monologue and then briefly.
Yeah, yeah. It was a joke. Gerald Ford's clumsiness. And,
yes.
You know, Ronald Reagan's way of talking. You know, Johnny Carson used to impersonate Ronald Reagan on his show.
Yeah.
You know.
And Richard Nixon's
and
mannerisms
absolutely.
Were huge.
So the president has, late night television has always done that, but it was done in the monologue. It was done to get a laugh. And the guests were more Hollywood. What I think happened was, who's in Hollywood now? I mean, it's a very strange thing that happened, but I don't know a whole lot of big movie stars anymore. There's no Jimmy Stewart's and John Wayne's, and you had them on those shows then. Even into the 80s, you had on David Letterman. I mean, he would have the comedians like Richard Lewis, and Sammy Davis Jr. was around, and Sonny and Cher,
around,
Bob Hope. So I think what happened was there's a lack of interest in Hollywood, and people don't understand anything that's going on in Hollywood. Have you noticed that the gossip columnists, which used to be the scourge of Hollywood, have almost all dried up because nobody wants to know about that anymore? They want to know about politics. When you have three news channels, 24 hours a day, radio shows that are three-hour blocks of nothing but politics, I think the comedy shows, they to stay on the air, they had to do something different. I don't know if it helped or hurt, but it had to do something.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that you mentioned the tabloids and that one thing that I think that has really hurt the tabloids these days is that the stuff that used to be shocking isn't so shocking anymore. People used to look at a gossip column or a tabloid and go, "Whoa, I got to read this." And now you see, and it's, "Oh well, you know, we've been shocked to death." And another thing is that with the politics, I think sometimes a lot of it can go back to the station and what they think their agenda should be, and they're willing to stand with that, even sometimes when ratings fall. We've seen a lot of that with printed news. And, you know, I'll tell you what, now I'm going to date myself, folks out there, but you probably would agree with me, most of you. I kind of miss the newspaper. I enjoyed, you know, that used to be a Sunday thing in our family. You went to church, you came home, you ate lunch, you read the newspaper, you took a nap, you got up, you got ready for church, you ate dinner, and you went to church. And that was kind of the way it was. But the newspaper, and you know, all the comic sections in it was, you know, as a kid, every week you had to go straight to it. And we kind of miss some of that in media, don't you?
I do. And I think this is kind of where our conversation was going last week. When we had three channels, and they all did an evening newscast, and they all did it at the same time, 6:30 to 7, you had 24 minutes minus advertising to report on the day's news. So there wasn't a whole lot of time to give any kind of opinion in 24 minutes. And I think what has happened is, because the news media does become a punching bag for a lot of politicians now, I think what has happened is people are labeling news people who are not news people, who don't aspire to be news people, but they get grouped in there. And I think I'm not sure why that happens. I've noticed, if you watch any of the news channels, there are people on those channels, all of them, who at one point or another are giving you straight news.
Correct.
But what happens is the people who are doing the editorial shows, they call them news as well. So when they attack the news media, they say, well, that whole channel is phony news. Well, that whole channel is not phony news. Those shows might be phony news, but that's we're grouping everybody together now. And I think if we stopped calling some of these people who are not news, news, then we wouldn't have this issue, to be honest.
I agree, and I think that I was watching an ad during the news for that particular station the other day, and the news people together said, we are here to give you news and to informatively show you a direction in which you can make things better. And I thought, wow, if that isn't a mouthful. And I thought, you know what, wait a minute, that's not your job. Your job is to report the news. Now, you two call yourselves news people. Your news people. It's not your job to direct and inform, to help them make a better decision. It's their job to report the news. And I think that even, honestly, even the news media people that call themselves news people have really lost focus on what their role should be and is. And whether it's done intentionally or whether it's done unintentionally, it's still there. And it's obvious that it's there.
Well, there is a propensity in our society now. I learned this a long time ago by just being around the media and being around media people to, how should I put this? They want to be loved. And
it's personality driven.
Yeah, yeah. And if you want to be loved, then you cannot run news stories because not all news stories are favorable. Some of them are, but not all of them. People do things that are not... I'll tell you why I like radio as opposed to newspapers. Because what I have noticed is newspaper reporters, they construct the story. They use what quotes they want to use from the conversation they had with you, and they construct what that story is going to be, and they write the headline. Radio... it's what you say now. Unless I chop you up in a taped interview, it's what you said. In your own words, your quote. And I think that is a big difference. I think sometimes in the media now, people want to be loved, and they also want to be listened to or watched. And to do that, you have to be popular all the time. And if you're popular all the time, then you can't report on negative things. Well, a lot of the news is negative, and it's unfortunate that it is. We can work on society to try to get rid of these negative things, but they're there.
I agree. And the one neat thing about radio is that whatever I say right then and there, if you want to call me out on it, it's out there.
It's out there.
And we can do that. And radio is great. I wish that more people listened to more radio. I know a lot of people that do. I've got a son-in-law that spends a lot of time in his truck, and that's what he's got on. He's listening to something different all the time. Now, I do find myself sometimes I can get almost oversaturated and drown with it, and I just got to get away from it for a while because I can be overwhelming. Even if you agree with someone completely, sometimes it's like, wow, you know, let's take a break and talk and stop. Let's stop and smell the roses. Could we please do that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Don't you want to do that every now and then, just stop?
Well, I think that's one of the issues is that when you listen to something, even if it's your own belief, if you listen to it long enough, what does it do? It's doing nothing because it's what you believed already.
They call that in church, they call that preaching to the choir.
Yeah, that's what it is. And I wish if people just lived by this axiom, we'd all be a little better off. If you are listening to something and you agree with it, change the channel.
You've said that before.
I believe
it's good advice.
I believe it. Because how is that helping you? If you already know it, okay, you know it, you believe it, the person is telling you that. But if you go to the other source, even if you don't believe what they're saying, you're hearing it. And hopefully somewhere you might hear something that the other thing is not going to tell you. Because people do construct the news in editorialist, construct the news in a way to suit a particular, I guess, it's political bend. But that amazes me that so many people who consider themselves to be journalists
aren't.
Well, yeah, but they're not running for office. They're not trying to do that. I don't know. My philosophy, I mean, I vote. I mean, I have opinions, but the reason I don't give them is because I want to hear from both sides. And if
it'd be hard for you to do. You'd alienate a whole side of your news.
You do,
and it's interesting too that the things that the people that we give credit to, and the people that we look up to and pay attention to. I read that thing a couple weeks ago on the air that it said, "Have you?" I've never needed a politician. I've never needed a football player. I know a politician wasn't one of them. I've never needed a football player, an athlete, or a pro athlete. I've never needed a news person. And the point is, there are things we do need, and we need them all the time. But those people have never come directly to our aid. They're people that are they don't do anything personally for us, but yet we want to so intently hear what they have to say. You know, I wish football players would just play football. That's what they get paid for, and that's what we love watching them do. The minute they become politicized and start using that platform, then what happens is I don't follow them anymore. I know that personally in our lives, we should, whoever we are, like myself as a Christian, I believe and I know that as the Bible tells me, that my job in every opportunity I have, publicly or anywhere else, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again on the third day. And we should accept that and accept him. And beyond that, my platform is my life. I'm a pastor, it's in my pulpit, but people somehow feel that once they get to a certain place, now they can tell everybody what they should be doing. And I wish that we hadn't gotten to that point that we're doing that constantly.
That, it's an interesting point, because I think there are two schools of thought with that. I do believe that when it comes to entertainment people, that they believe what they say, because I don't know what would be the purpose of saying
that. Oh, they do. I believe they do.
And I think what happens is I think because they have a platform, people pay attention. You know, I look back at the Jim Brown days. Now, Jim Brown was very political. Very political. But
he still is.
He still is. And he still believes the same things now that he believed 30, 40 years ago now. But the reason people listen to Jim Brown is because when you put Jim Brown said such and such and such and such, people bought that newspaper. People listened to that show because they wanted to have Jim Brown on. And whether you liked or disliked what he had to say, people were still paying attention. So it's kind of a hard thing because you can't censor anybody's right to say what they believe, but you don't have to give them the platform. But yet, when you do give them the platform, people want to hear it.
One thing that I would caution those that would be in those positions, the Bible tells us that pride comes before the fall. And a lot of times when you become a person that you get to a level that you think you're on a pinnacle and you can tell everyone what you think and that they should listen because of who you are, how many times have we seen those people fall? You know, I'll give you a good example. A lot of these talk show hosts, they've got fan clubs. You can buy shirts with their names on them, mugs with their names on them. You know, call this radio or order this product and mention my name and all these kind of things that go on and on and on. And all of a sudden, you know, they're at the top of their game and everyone knows who they are. And bingo, some allegation comes up and all of a sudden they're the scourge of the earth. Well, the point was, if they would have never elevated themselves, A, they might not have got so full of themselves that they did some of these things, which that happens, or B, no one would have really cared and it would have been plastered everywhere anyway. So you have to caution in that area.
You know, it's interesting, though, because this is what I'm always amazed by. And this is away from politics or anything of that nature. But do you remember about 10 years ago, now maybe a little longer, when Tom Cruise came out against antidepressants?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And he went on shows. Now, he was on these shows to sell a movie. I believe it was Mission Impossible 2 or something at that time. But
that was the Brooke Shields deal.
Yeah. But he decided at that point to take his stance that he did not believe antidepressants worked. Now, here's what I think about that. I think anybody listening to Tom Cruise who believe antidepressants do work, I don't think they stopped taking them because they heard him say it.
I don't think so either.
So that's what I always wonder about somebody like Jim Brown. And we're using Jim Brown, but there are a lot of them. When he gets up and says it, does it make you believe it? I doubt it.
I think it depends on the issue. You know, a lot of people at that time became very upset with Tom Cruise because Brooke Shields was going through postpartum depression, and that statement kind of came out of all that he didn't believe in it. And a lot of that went back to his Scientology and why he didn't believe in, because you can put your mind in a place that you don't need these things. Now, the difference is, I think that everybody, whether they vote or not, they've got some political thought, most people, and they can jump on board real quick. Now, the antidepressant people, they're going to do what their doctor says. You know, that's just, I don't think that politics coming from a actor or an actress or a football player is apples and apples to the antidepressant part. They're not going to. But I think when they get political, I think that people do, that have a tendency to lean that way, it just bolsters them, gets them going more. I'll give you a good example. Charlton Heston as president of the NRA. People that would be pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment. Pro-gun's probably a bad word. I'd say pro-Second Amendment's a better way to put that. But Charlton Heston, man, he's their man. They're listening. They're buying every word he says. And that's a real strong opinion. It's a very polarizing thing. And I think that we have some people that have stood out for those kind of things that we pay attention to.
Well, it's fascinating, and I think I've brought her name up before, and I hope people do Google her out if you don't remember her. But Dorothy Fulltime, here in Ohio, was a gigantic news personality. She was actually the first woman to ever have a local news broadcast in the Midwest, I believe. And she stayed in the news business well into her 90s. Up in Cleveland is where she was stationed, WEWS. Now, primarily what she did there in her later years was she did editorials every day. And it was people loved to listen to it. People loved to like her, and people loved to hate her for what she said. And she did interviews. She had a 30-minute interview show. Now, on that 30-minute interview show, it's hard to believe, but in those days, the people who came to Cleveland, Bob Hope, Phyllis Diller, Phil Donahue, Peter Jennings, I remember being on her show. She had people from the Catholic Church. She had Santa Claus on. She did that kind of an interview show. Now, her editorials sometimes were very political. Of course they were, and they aired on the news show. But people could hold two thoughts in their mind. Even if you didn't like what Dorothy said in her editorial, you still would watch her interview show because you liked her style of interviewing and the fact that she wasn't all editorial. And I don't know. For some reason, people can't hold two thoughts in their head. I don't understand what has happened to cause that.
Well, I think that we've gotten such a sharp division politically that the minute someone goes to go one direction or the other, most people will completely shut them down and just say, I don't want any part of that. They must be this, they must be that. And they immediately go to, in their mind immediately is conditioned to go to those people that are radical, that are doing A, B, and C. The minute you start to sound like you're leaning one way, they group you with everybody that's ever done anything wrong in that political persuasion, and you're one of them. And I don't think that it used to be so much in the past that you're one of them. I used to see elections where when people's candidate lost an election, they still wanted the candidate to do well. Or they were hoping the best that they do the best and would support them if you were ever attacked or if you know. I remember when President Kennedy was assassinated. There were people on both sides of the political party at that time, but everyone across the board was just abhorred by it and upset and hurt for his family and hurt for the country. And I mean, everyone was. But today we're in a climate, if this current president were assassinated, there'd be people having parties in the street. And what does that say about our society?
Well, I would hope not. I really would.
But they would.
But you know, I heard, and I heard this from a Secret Service man, that President Obama got more death threats than all other presidents combined. Now, thank God nothing happened. Don't want to see anybody die. Especially as president. But would people have rejoiced if he had been killed? There would have been a group.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a small group. There were people, this is interesting. Charlie Evers has said this on this station, that the only time he ever wanted to punch somebody in the news business was when John Kennedy was killed, because he was working at local station here, WMRN. And the thing came across the teletype in those days that John Kennedy had been assassinated, and one of the news people in the building said they finally got him.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. Well, I was a young man when Ronald Reagan was shot, and I was working on the east side of Columbus, the shorty side. And I was replacing a water heater in the basement of a rental property. And it was a very, very inner city area that I was at. And I'm down there working, and all of a sudden I hear all these people war whooping and carrying on like they hit the lottery. And I came upstairs and says, what's going on? You know, and these people were out on their porches. And this place says, yay, they finally shot the blankety blank.
Yeah.
And I said, what? He said, yeah, Reagan just got shot. And I just thought, you're kidding me.
So I guess it's always been there. With the current president, which we don't want anything bad to happen, with Obama, when Reagan was shot, and when Kennedy was shot, it happened. There is always that ugly undercurrent.
What's funny is I remember when Obama was when President Obama was elected, and prior to the election, a lot of the campaign rhetoric out there was that all these rednecks would make assassination attempts on him, and if there were that many crazy rednecks out of there, I think they would have done it. I think that a lot of people are rhetoric when it comes down to it. They're not really what they say they are. But I do fear today that there is a element in our society that comes unhinged easier than it used to. And we see that. And I'll tell you something that doesn't help, but let's go back to media for just a second. You know, when you've got a little skirmish somewhere where there's 20 people holding signs and screaming some ugly things, sometimes it's reported as it's a huge event, and it's focused in to make the crowd look big when it's really not, because it's news ratings and it's news people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's a catch-22 in the news business, though, because if you ignored the protest and you didn't report on it, the people who felt the same way would jump on you and say, why didn't you report that? You made it seem like everything was hunky-dory there. So it works both ways. And I think what is different now is that the politician, instead of just saying, okay, that was it, they start firing shots at the media. Mm-hmm. And then it does become a bigger story. If there's a protest today in Marion, Ohio, down the street, and I report on that protest, that's a news report in and of itself,
right.
Boom, done. I'm not going to report on that tomorrow because it happened. It's over. But if the politician comes back the next day and says, that wasn't true, that was all a lie, they weren't there.
You got to report on it.
You got to report, because then that is news, unfortunately. So I think sometimes the politicians don't do themselves any favors.
Oh, I agree with that. You know, I saw it, but it's interesting the way that I think in all of this, we're telling people to take some personal responsibility in what you look for, what you follow up on. You know, you really can find where all your candidates stand. It's real easy. How many people, let me ask you a question. How many people are going to go to the polls tomorrow and they're going to walk in and they're going to stand, or not tomorrow, but, you know, in a few days, and they're going to stand there and they're going to look at that thing and say, well, let's see, I know who DeWine and Cordray are, and I think maybe I recognize who Ratliff and Grogan are, but I don't recognize any of the rest of these people. So they either hit buttons or they do nothing. And the thing is, any one of them can go to the Marion Board of Elections online and get a list of every candidate, see who they are. They've had a chance to look them up, to find out who they are. We always should go to our polls informed. And I think that a lot of people don't. And a lot of people are swayed by opinion, by what they listen to. I'm with you, Scott. I think that people come away very narrow-minded if they listen to the same thing all the time.
I do know this, and it does play into Election Day. I do know that the down-ballot vote locally is real. I have covered quite a few local elections now, and I'll give you the biggest example I ever saw of it was in 2016, being in Ohio. Now, we know that Ohio went for President Trump over Hillary Clinton by about 7 points. Now, on the local level that year, now this is the underreporting. When we covered it, because we cover the local elections, we had a commissioner race that year, we had a clerk of courts race, we had a sheriff race, we had several, county commissioner. And if you went down the line locally, now it wasn't exact numbers, but all of the Republicans won by about 7% except the sheriff. Now, I believe that has to be a down-ballot vote. And I'm interested to see if that will happen Tuesday, because if Cordray does win, will that down ticket to the local level with Democrats? It did for the Republicans, because I don't know how else to explain that.
No, I don't either. Can you explain on here to people what a down ballot is?
Down ballot is we know the big race, and in 2016 it was president, and that's why people were turning out. So they knew who they wanted to vote for president. They knew they wanted to vote for Trump, a Republican. But when it got to the local races, like the county commissioner and the clerk of courts and so on and so forth, they just voted Republican in the same amount that they voted
right.
for the president.
So what does that tell you?
Right, that people don't know on the local level.
People don't know on the local level, and they should.
Right, but I think the sheriff was the only race that didn't happen in, and I think because most people, that's the one office that people don't see as being political.
And they know who he is.
Yeah.
He's got great name recognition.
Yeah,
I agree with that. But I guess we don't have much time left, do we? How much time?
We had a long obituary report, so we're going to go about 4 more minutes.
Okay. You know, but I think we're encouraging people. We understand. We've talked a little bit about the media role and maybe what it should or shouldn't be as far as, and the difference between news reporting and having a magazine show, as we could call it too, right,
yeah.
In a sense. But it's important we recognize the difference in those two. And that we take the time to be personally responsible, to seek out what you believe. And it's not just, you know, it's not just economy sometimes, it's where they stand in other issues that we've got to pay attention to. But it's important that we vote our conscience and not someone else's. That's what's huge. And you know, don't let someone sway you and just drag you along. You know, you look at an issue and you say, you know what? I don't know that I can vote for this person, or yeah, you know what, maybe I can vote for this person. And I think people need to do that. And I think the more people do that, it takes the power away from those that would be the puppet masters. And it's very important that we are Americans, we're given a special right that we've had for the last couple hundred years, that not every country can say that, very few can, that we have the right to cast our vote, and our vote is counted. Our vote is important. I know people talk about the electoral system not being fair, but really when you look at how it was put into place, of course it's fair. You know, if we're going to be a country-wide country of 50 states, and your vote counts. Your vote's important. You take advantage of that. I mean, that right may not always be there.
Well, and also know, whatever happens Tuesday, we're going to be fine Wednesday. We're going to be fine in January. Life will go on. Everything will be fine. But you'll have some people who complain. You know, the world's going all over the place. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine, but still, it's so important to vote.
Oh, yes,
you have to vote. Direction of the country definitely hinges on those that we put into power. But I will say something as a pastor as we're closing here. Folks out there, my God reigns. God's still in charge. And no matter what happens in this election, God wins. And trust God. Trust God with your life every day and watch the change that he can make in it.
I'll tell you, I want to say this because I think it's important. People always ask me how I'm going to vote. I don't know if that's because you're in the media or whatever.
Probably.
But I'll tell you this. Here's a little thing for people who are interested. I do vote. Here's a little thing. I can guarantee you, if you are running negative ads, and I have seen a plethora of your negative ads, I won't be voting for you. I'm tired of that. I've had enough of those negative ads. I can't take them anymore.
But how can you decide? Because they're all running negative ads.
Well, I get the mail every day, and there's a few more than others.
Okay.
I guess is how I'm going to weigh that. But you know what? It will come down to policy. I guess I'm making a little joke by saying that. But my goodness, it's been ugly. It doesn't have to be this ugly. I've never gotten literature in the mail like I've gotten in the last 4 years. And phone calls. My goodness, I get polled every 2-3 times a day.
They got your name tagged, don't they?
They must. And I said, I'm not going to do this poll because I don't know who's conducting it. I don't know what the deal is. But and it's from both parties, so I want to say that too. But I do believe, vote for who you think's going to do the best job. If they get in, good for you. If they don't get in, we'll survive. We've had 69 governors in Ohio. We're still here. We've had 45 presidents. We're still here. We've had over 100 congresses. We're going to survive. It'll be fine. Have fun Tuesday night if you like election coverage. But once Wednesday comes, just go on.
they always manage to get through the Michigan and Ohio State game without anyone, the world coming to an end, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, this show repeats every Sunday morning from 9, 10 to 10 a.m. And every, this will be on right before our election coverage on Tuesday night, 6, what a good show to lead us into election coverage. 6, 10 to 7 p.m. in the Pastor's Spot. The Pastor's other show, which is a great show he does with Terry Tackett, live every Tuesday from 5:10 to 6 p.m. And then that will replay Wednesday, 3:10 to 4 p.m. and Sunday, 8:10 to 9 a.m. Pastor, I enjoy these Fridays so much.
I do, too. I do too. Good to be here.
Yes, stay well, and stay tuned for more programming coming up next.
Plugged in and see that there's true hope for tomorrow and hope in your life. God bless you. Have a good evening.